Probably a lot of us went through a contractor to have our homes built. But what if we decided to build a house on our own? And so wouldn't we need to figure the cost of the labor and the materials before we start laying the foundation and then, of course, putting up the house? Because we could run out of money before it was finished. And that wouldn't be good at all, would it? We would lose all that we invested. So the same is true with the spiritual builder, as one should count the cost of being a Christian, that is, being a faithful follower of Christ. Now, we should understand the kingdom of God is the church of Christ, as Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is the head of the church, which is his body. And this is borne out in Matthew 16:18-19, Colossians 1:13, 1 Timothy 6:15, Ephesians 1:22-23. So we want to begin our study concerning counting the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And if we'll remember the initials PFE, that will help us in keeping in mind what we should be doing on a daily basis, preparing for eternity, PFE. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As, yes, sir, we come together in our Bible classes. Of course, we want to study God's precious word. And then as we assemble together in the worship service, we're striving to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern which he has given us. That's in truth. But also, we want to have a proper attitude. Thus, that would be in spirit. That's following John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available if you prefer to study that way. Now, your questions, Bible questions that is, are always appreciated. Your comments, positive or negative, they're always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. The times of our service are given at the end of the program. And one more thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're wanting to count the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ. So here's our first question to begin our study. What is the nature of the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ? Notice as we go to Luke chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 25 here. And there went great multitudes with him. And then Jesus turned and said unto them, and we'll want to study that in a moment. But what we're seeing here, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And so he's going to take this opportunity to teach a great multitude. Now this multitude included those who truly loved him, those who were his enemies, looking for something that they can use against him, and those who were expecting to receive blessings in an earthly kingdom without any change of their life. Now, let's go to John 6, 24 through 27, and you'll see what I was referring to here. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which entereth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So this, you know, of course, was after Jesus had fed a number miraculously. And their warning, of course, to receive physical blessings. And this is not really what is to be the main point, is it? What is Jesus emphasizing here? Spirituality over the physical. He is going to build his church, the spiritual kingdom. And yet, you see, well, and still in chapter 6, I wanted to note verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, that is the emphasis, is it not? So they were wrong about the nature of the coming kingdom of God, thinking that it would be physical rather than a spiritual kingdom. The premillennialists, they still hold this false doctrine to this day. They're thinking Jesus is coming again and setting up a kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. No, sir. He's already set it up, and he's reigning in heaven now. Do not fall for that false teaching. As you see in John 18, now we want to go there, John 18, 36 and 37. This will clear it up if anybody has doubts. You see, Jesus answered Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. Let's read that again. My kingdom is not of this world. So why would you say Jesus is coming again to set up a physical kingdom? You see, that's anti-Bible, isn't it? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That's right. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now the question for us is, do we know the truth? If we do not hear his voice. Because that's how we hear his voice, by knowing his teaching, his doctrine. And that is, of course, knowing the truth. And Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 30, 31 and 32. So now we should understand that Jesus is going to build his church, Matthew 16, 18, and 19. We understand that it is the kingdom of God. I will build my church, singular, Jesus said in verse 18 of Matthew 16. He's going to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the apostles when they preach the gospel of Christ on the day the church is to begin. In Acts verse chapter 2, you'll see they open the door to the church, to the kingdom of heaven. In Colossians 1, study verses 13 through 18. And you'll see we're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son when we obey the gospel. And this is the church of Christ. Now, all kingdoms must have four things: a king, subjects and territory, and of course, law. Thus, the spiritual kingdom of God has Christ as king, of course. The Christians, that is, those that are followers of Christ, that have obeyed the gospel and are staying faithful, they're subjects. What about the territory? That would be the hearts of true followers of Christ. And the law, of course, is the law of Christ. And we're all under that, whether we believe or not. Now, we know the nature of the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ. It's spiritual. So with that in mind, let's ask the next question. What is the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ? Now we go to Luke 14. We know that there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, now we begin verse 26 of Luke 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that got our attention, didn't it? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the program. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Now, here's the point. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, notice, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, again, we're asking the question, what is the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ? To count the cost, we must realize that there is a need for sacrifice on our part. Yes, to be a faithful follower of Christ, that's a must. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's go there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we asked ourselves, am I, Bob Hawkins, presenting my body as a living sacrifice? Well, to count the cost, I must be doing that, of being a true follower of Christ. I'm going to have to make sacrifices. Now, of the multitudes, many were wrong about what it would cost to be a true follower of Christ. As we pointed out, they're looking for material blessings. But no, how did Jesus address their misunderstanding concerning counting the cost of being a Christian? He made it clear. If any man is going to come to him and follow him, they're going to have to what? put God first. Now, the word hate gets our attention here in Luke's account. But notice Matthew 10:37, and we'll see the same point is made. Jesus, the speaker, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So the word hate here is meaning love them less. Love God first. Love God with all our heart, soul, might, all our strength, all our soul that we can muster. We love God first if we're going to be counting the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ. As Jesus answered a lawyer who asked a good question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Matthew 22, this is 36 through 40, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, our actions speak volumes. Yes, how are we living our lives before God? What does it say, the way I live, that how I am putting God first, or am I not putting God first? You see, it's one or the other, isn't it? So, as we count the cost of being a Christian, let's also realize what it will cost if we do not become a Christian, and if we're not going to remain faithful unto death or until the Lord returns. For certain, we as Christians must bear a burden. But notice, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." So there's a burden, but it's much lighter than carrying the burden of sins, is it not? Yes, it is. So let's remember that. Matthew 11:28 through 30. Have we counted the cost of being a Christian? Do we have our priorities in order? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," that's the church of Christ, "and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We'll receive those things we have need of. Putting God first means putting parents, spouses, children, any family member, any friend, or anybody else second. We are to love and to honor our parents, but not to obey parents over the Lord. And so you see, Luke 14:26, that word hate gets our attention, but it's meaning love less. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, Ephesians 6:1. That relates back to Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But here's the key. We must not allow our loved ones, anyone, or anything for that matter, to influence us to stop putting God first. And it can happen before you know it if we're not on guard and if we're not counting the cost of being a faithful follower of Christ. Look at the warning Jesus gave his apostles, Matthew 10:21 and 22. "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Those that left the Jewish faith and became a Christian were ostracized by their families, and some were put to death because of this. As Jesus stated, that's exactly what happened. And we can receive persecution today. Maybe not too many are being put to death, but in some places in the world, they are. Now notice verse 28, still in Matthew 10. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's right. Luke 9:23. And he, that is Jesus, said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, that's the second thing, and follow me. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So are we denying self and putting to death anything that stands in our way of following Christ? Well, this is the battle of the ages, is it not? Now let's go to question number 3. Can we find an example of Jesus putting God the Father's will over his physical family in the Scriptures? Well, yes, we can. As Jesus was teaching a multitude, notice what happened when his mother and physical brethren were seeking him. Mark 3:31-35. There came then his brethren and his mother standing without, sent unto him, calling him, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. So, did not Jesus put God's will over his physical family? Yes, is the correct answer. Luke 8:21, and he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So, do we put the will of God as a priority over our physical families? Jesus did. Now, what is the context of Hebrews 10:25, our fourth question we want to go to now, because this is going to be a good test for each one of us as we again examine ourselves. Notice 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. So notice, as we go back to verse 25 here in Hebrews chapter 10, the word assembling rather than assembly. which covers not only Sunday morning, but whenever the church comes together to worship God or to study His Word. Now, during the times of severe persecution, the early church sometimes met before dawn to worship God on the Lord's Day. Some of the church had become unfaithful by forsaking the assembling of the saints due to the persecutions. And you can see that, verse 32 through 39. Our time is drawing nigh. But notice, forsake is different than neglect. Yes, Matthew 27:46, 2 Timothy 4:10. So what about our influence on others? Matthew 5:13 through 16, we're to be the salt of the earth, the light that reflects the light of Christ. Notice Philippians 2:15 and 16. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do we know it's good to come together as the church? What is it, 4 or 5 hours a week? The ladies' class would make it 5. So, what is the day approaching referring to here? Well, some commentators believe it's the day of judgment, but they would not have seen it approaching. Some say the day of worship, but the exhorting was to be done during the assembling rather than throughout the week. So is it not a strong case can be made for the destruction of Jerusalem, since the Hebrew Christians would have had great interest as that day drew near, and Jesus gave signs, Matthew 24:3 through 34, Luke 21:20 through 22. So, as we close out our study this morning, have we counted the cost of becoming a faithful follower of Christ as opposed to remaining lost in our sins? Have we recognized the value of learning about the will of God and then developing the courage to deny self and keep God's will? Jesus came to give life everlasting. He came to give spiritual peace, but many will still reject Him. They reject the truth. This causes war, division, strifes, even in families, in our own families. It can certainly do that. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, in the sense of the division that can be caused by one member of the family obeying the gospel and the others have not. And study Matthew 10:34 through 39. So the point is, we have a choice. We can accept Christ and obey His word. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. Or we can reject Christ and give in to our own desires and feelings. But what's going to be the results of that choice? The choice should not be difficult unless we're being deceived or deceiving ourselves. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We must hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We must repent of our sins, making a change of wills, and then be baptized into Christ. The Lord will add us to His body, the true church. We thank you so much for listening today.